So welcome everyone to today's Link Developer Roundtable session. Today's topic is the introduction to the Link Server SDK and MSPL. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. It's been around quite a while. And Eve tells me it's one of our most popular SDKs around. So really excited to be presenting about this today. So today we have Eve Peach, the Senior Program Manager with Link and responsible for the server SDK. And we have Vijay Manian here, who's going to help us with answering questions after the presentation and demo. And he's a developer. He's pretty much responsible for all the code. Is that right?
Including my boss and me.
Including your boss. Oh, okay. So, yeah, so we're really lucky to have the two of them here today to give this presentation. So, without further ado, oh, one more thing I should mention is this is being recorded, and I will put the recording up on Channel 9 in about a week or so. So, if you don't take notes, that's fine. Just watch the video later. And I think that's about it for me. So, Eve, take it over.
All right. Thanks, Kai. Hi, everybody. My name is Eve. I'm a senior PM within the Link Server platform. Today, with Vijay, we'll introduce you to the Link Server SDK. And we'll explain you how to develop SIP server applications. So for today, here is the agenda. So we'll go up. Let's make sure you can see the slides. Take over.
Yeah, we're sharing the slides.
So. Okay. Particular, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here is the agenda. So we'll start with an overview of the SDK and go through a scenario. So we'll explain you what you can do with this SDK. Then after some terminology overview, we'll describe what kind of applications you can do and go through development steps. So quick summary, we have script-based application and managed-based applications, and we'll explain you how to develop and deploy these applications. Then we'll demo a script app as well as a managed app. And after the demo, we'll finish with some best practices and go through some common mistakes we are seeing within the developer community. So let's start with the overview. So the SDK basically is a set of API references that can be used to develop SIP server applications in order to customize and extend Link Server. So at a high level, the SDK is used to filter or and route SIP messages. So as you know, Link Server is mainly a SIP server. We receive communications using SIP. So what you can do with this SDK is you can handle or capture SIP messages and do custom routing and filtering. The SDK alone is not used to initiate any kind of new communications. Basically, you handle existing communications. If you want to do that, you need to leverage a second SDK, which is the UCMA SDK. So as soon as you have more advanced scenario, you may need to combine this SDK with the UCMA SDK so that you can initiate new communications, do custom logic, and so on. So let's go through the different scenarios. One scenario is enforcing content integrity. So many companies have policies to control how instant messaging is used by employees. So for example, you may want to disable a link if you talk to external users, and so on. So you can capture the message content and inspect the content to do your own logic. Privacy settings is also quite important. So for example, if you look at link clients, if you look at your buddies, you see like user like Kai is away for 30 minutes or Vijay is offline for 3 days. In some countries, in some areas, this is considered as a privacy violation. So to fix this, what you can do, you can develop a SIP server application. And filter any SIP messages that contains presence data, and then you can remove the time information. That's a typical scenario in order to meet the privacy requirements we have in some countries. Ethical roles, that's also a big topic. So many organizations have structures like they are organized into verticals, they have different companies and so on. And there is and we get requirements from these organizations to control who can communicate to who. So I may want to control that group A cannot communicate with group B. I want to define specific rules. So I want to establish walls between these groups within my own organizations. So by default, we don't do that. But you can, of course, support this by developing your own SIP server application. Custom routing, that's a more advanced scenario, so you may want to define some logic where if a call is coming to user A, then route it to user C because A goes on vacation, or you may want to route the call to an interactive voice response system. You can dispatch call to somewhere else. So these are like custom routing scenarios that are also used in contact center kind of scenarios. And one more scenario is for the what we call the bots, UCMA bots. So this is an application available that is used to communicate with a machine, basically. And in Link Server, there is a limit in the number of subscribers you can have. So so if you develop a bot within your own company, so you expect many users to subscribe to this bot. So if all users have Link clients, then it's okay because what Link client does, it subscribes to the bot, take the status in cache, and then unsubscribe. But as soon as you want to make this bot public, you cannot expect everybody to have Link clients. You will hit an issue because as soon as you hit the limit in number of subscribers, the presence will be something like unknown. So in order to fix this, you can have a very simple SIP server application that can intercept subscription messages and always return online. So by doing that, you are sure that the status is always online. So these are scenarios we see within our customers. So before going to the details, let's first go through some names we use. So the first one is MSPL, Microsoft SIP Processing Language. Basically, it's a scripting language that provides basic controls for filtering and routing SIP messages. So we'll have predefined functions to do that. The second one is the manifest. Manifest is a document, an XML document, that describes your SIP application. Basically, you will define the name of your application. You will define what kind of messages you want to handle and to catch. Within your manifest, you can embed a script to do your custom logic, or you can invoke a managed application. So manifest is a description of your application, and MSPL is the language used to define your logic. So now, when you develop a SIP server applications, you have two options. The first one is to develop an MSPL script. Script-only application. So basically to do that you will need Notepad. Define your logic. That most of the case is good enough to if you only need to filter and route SIP messages. Now as soon as you require additional logic such as initiate new communications or like enforce authentication or encrypt some specific content and so on, then you will need to switch to a managed application. So in the managed application, you can do whatever you want. Of course, you have access to all .NET APIs, and you can capture all SIP messages and do your own logic. There is a something you need to take to pay attention here is obviously as soon as you develop a complex managed app, if you start to maintain a state or things like that, be careful of the performance hit, because we want this application to be very fast. If you develop a script-only application, that will be very fast. Most of the scenarios, we don't see any performance issues here. So, in summary, script application, basic filtering and routing. .NET managed application is used for complex logic, initiate new communications on extensibility scenarios. So how do you develop? First thing to do, you install the SDK. So you go on MSDN, take the SDK and deploy it. Basically, it will deploy a set of files on your machine. And then that's it. So if you develop a script-only application, you will create an application manifest, which is an .am extension, so that you can use with Notepad. You add your own logic. You can compile on your development machine. So it doesn't need to be a Linux server machine. You can be your own laptop. And then once you are done, after checking that you can compile, then you can deploy this app on each frontend in your pool. You can also deploy this application on the edge, depending on the scenario. So edge scenarios are more used for authentication scenarios, enforcing security, and so on. So you deploy it. So to deploy it, you only need to copy this file to a specific path, which is under link server / server / core. Then once it's copied, you register your application. So there is a command net, new CS server application. You run this command net, you pass some parameters. So you pass, you give a URI, the path to your script, and you tell if you want to enable it or not. That's it. So to do that, you just need to log on the machine as an admin. If you want to develop a managed application, it's almost the same. So you will need Visual Studio 2012. You still need to have an application manifest that you can embed within your app. You have to reference a DLL called serveragent.dll. Do your own logic. Compile in 64 bits. Be careful, 64 bits, because Linux server are running on 64-bit machine. Copy the file on the executable to a folder, any folder, on each FE frontend in the pool. And then, again, register your application. Here, the only difference is you don't have to pass a script name. So just register your application. You can start your application, so it's an executable, so it can be a Windows service or it can be a console application. So if you start your application, make sure that you are running this application under an account, part of the RTC server applications local group. So that's part of the common mistakes. Make sure that you are running under that your account is part of this group. Then, technically, the application will register once you start the application. So we'll see in the demo when you run the new CS server application for this app, you will not see any events in the event log. You will start to see events as soon as you start your application. For the script, it's a bit different because as soon as you register your app, it compiles the app, and then you will see an event in your event log. So that's how it's pretty simple. So on the client machine, there's no specific requirements. Just install the SDK, Notepad for scripts, Visual Studio for managed app. That's straightforward. Okay, let's switch to a demo. Can you see my screen, I guess? Yes. So, we are talking about script application. So, the way to do that, So here I use Visual Studio, but I could use Notepad. So basically, you need to create a file code with an extension .am. And then, the structure is very easy. So it's an XML document. You have an application manifest here. An app URI attribute. Basically, this is a unique identifier for your application. So here, my application is called Echo. And then, inside this application, you define what kind of SIP messages you want to get. So that's this request filter element. And then, as part of that, all the attributes used after that are used to define what exactly you want to capture. So you can capture specific SIP messages. So here in my demo, I want to capture invite, SIP invite on SIP message. And then I have additional options that are, again, basically used to filter what you want to get. So you may want to do logic saying, hey, I want, if you, you can tell the server, hey, if you don't know, if you already know where to route this message, don't go to this app. If you don't know, go to this app. If the messages generated by the register, do you want to capture them or not? Or do you want to handle or capture messages where the destination on the, or the source is coming from outside, from a different domain than your organization? So you have a set of attributes used here on the request filter element. Then you have your script. So in my demo, what I want to do, I want to inspect the content, search for a specific word, and replace this word by something else. So as soon as I get a SIP message, what I want to do is search inside my content. So here I just search within the request for this word, routing. Then if I find something, what I do here, I take this content, do some logic to find the name greetings, and replace it by echo. Sorry, hello world. Wrong comment. So here is hello world. And that's it. And as soon as I am done, I replace this content by a new content, and I proxy my message. So very simple. Capture invite on messages. For each message I get, go through the content, search for the name greeting, and replace it by hello world. You can use a log class for debugging purpose. So you can trace it, or you can also log in the event log, so you can replace this by events. And by doing that, it will log into the event log. And that's it. So in my demo here, I just inspect a message content and replace some words by something else. So once you do that, you have to compile your app. So as part of the SDK, there is a compile spl.exe. You pass the script name. By doing that, you check that your script is okay. Here, I'm still on my development machine, so I'm not on a Linux server machine. So I have just worked on my machine. Then, once you are done, you can copy this file on the server. So here I have a server and client application. So let's go to the server machine. So what you have to do, you have to copy this file, here, echo.am, into this path, server/core. Then you need to register your application. So to register your application, you have to go to the link administration PowerShell. And you have to run the new CS server application, pass the URI for your app, which is your identifier, give a scope, an identity to your app. So in this case, the scope is my pool, and that's my application. I want to enable it. I can give a priority. Basically, if you have a set of different applications, you want to define an ordering within your apps. You have other sets of other settings that you can use, but here that's basically the default. So here, if I run it, it will fail because I already did it. So basically, I get an error saying that my app already exists. So I can also do I can also do a get. So let's do a get for my app. So by doing the get, I can check that my app is properly registered. So here I have my identity, echo, I have the URI, and I see that my app is disabled. So I have enabled equal false. So let's enable it. Okay, so I do a set CSL app on enable equal true. Right? What I can do, I can check the event log. So that was my previous, when I disabled my app, I got this kind of message saying that I have disabled the app. But I should see now an event saying that my app is successfully registered. Now I'm good to test. So to test, I need two users. So let's take my server application, so it's small screen, so that we can see it properly. So on the left side, I have one user, that's me. And on the right side, I have John. So let's send a message to John. So switch to the other app. Oops. My word was glitching. On the left, I type greetings. On the right, I see hello world. Well, that's a very basic example, but that's an example of how you can capture content, inspect the content, and do your own logic. So that was a script scenario. Now I can do the same using a managed application. So let's disable this app. Well, let's come back to my desktop. So the managed app, let's do the same. In my demo now, what I want to do, I want to capture hyperlinks. So if as soon as I see http://something, I want to replace it by __http//. So basically, I want to remove any links within my message content. So if I want to do it with a managed app, I need Visual Studio. I have created a project, so console application here called URL Broker. That's my program, right? So a couple of things we need to pay attention. So first of all, in my console app, I define a new instance of this class, URL Broker. This class is my application logic. So I will handle events for requests and responses. So I will come back to that later. So I define a new instance of this app. And then I do an instance of a server agent. The server agent is how you communicate with the link server. So communication is established using this server agent class. To define how you want to connect, you need to pass manifest. On the manifest will tell you, hey, I want to capture this kind of message. So I have a small helper class called AppUtil, so I can show you what I'm doing here. So I just handle all my exceptions here, but I check that my server is available, and then I do a new instance of my application manifest that I can create from a file. My app manifest is should be here. very easy. So that's again my URI. I want to capture message. No script. Sorry. My script here is basically give the request to my app. So I have a function called dispatch here. Let's say, hey, I will not do the logic. Please give it to the app. So here I have a dispatch for the request and a dispatch for the response. That's only what I have in my app. And that's all what you will have in the app manifest as soon as you develop a managed application. So, okay, so let's go back to the managed app. So I create an instance of the application manifest. I compile this manifest. Then I have my agent that is it's a server agent class that is instantiated. If everything is okay, then as soon as I get the message from the dispatch, give it back to as task to my thread pool. So I want to be asynchronous here. I give it back to my, so basically each time I get a message, I will instantiate this UI blocker class. Now, each time I get a request, so the dispatch request, what I want to do, I want to trace some content, and I want to replace links within my content. Then, and that's it. And then, so you have same logic for the response. The only difference here is when you get a request, as soon as you modify the request content, you need to create a new client transaction. So in this case, we call the create branch function that is designed for that, to create a new transaction. And then you pass this request. On my search replace, its reference is very basic, I just replace http://// by underscore http://. So there's a bit more code, but as soon as you are in this kind of program, you can do any kind of logic, because now you have the framework to implement any kind of logic. So, okay, so I have my own request, on response, that was coming back to the manifest file that was defined here, dispatch on request, on dispatch on response. All you're done. Then what you do, you have to build your app. Go to your folder. To the git folder, go to the x64 folder, debug, and copy this file into a folder on the link server, on all link server. Once you're done, you go back to your server app. So now I'm back on my server application. I have copied this file here. Right. And then you have to register your application. So similarly to what I did before, we did a new CS server application. You do exactly the same, except that you don't need to pass the script name. So it's already done. So what I will do, I will enable it. So yes, I have somewhere. Let's take this one. Okay, that was my app, or let's enable it. By doing this, you will not see anything in the event log. What you need to do next is to run this application. So to run this application, you need to, so let's run it to the context of an account, which is part of a special group. So let's go to the groups here. And I have a group called link RTC server application. I have added myself to this group. Then, so what you need to do, you need to run this application. So I will do a run as, and I pass this exit. Right. So I do run as. Now my application is running, right? Nothing is happening right now. Now if I check in my log, I see now that my application is registered. So let's test now. So I want to talk to John again. The two screens. Okay, so now I have my communication between John and Eve. So if I say, hey, check right on the right side, I have underscore CTP. So that's another example of how to inspect contents under your own logic. Yeah, so that's pretty it. So here I have, you can, the value of the console app is you can display your debugging information, so it's very easy to debug. But what you can do, you can also develop a service application. Depending on what you want to do, I think it's quite easier to start with the console app for debugging purposes. Right, so let's come back to the presentation. So best practices, don't try to capture everything. The more you capture, the more resources you will ask to your link server. So make sure you only capture the messages you want to handle. As soon as you want to maintain a state, or if you want to play with loops or any kind of blocking code, pay a lot of attention. It's very important that your code is fast. As soon as you block code or manage your state, there will be a performance hit, so make sure that you instrument your app and measure the performance of your app. So that's a common mistake. As soon as you want to do a lot of logic, that may impact your server. As soon as you need to handle complex scenarios, may consider switching to .NET or managed applications. Make sure that your app is asynchronous. So don't develop any kind of synchronous app. That's not the purpose of the server. So it requires a bit more knowledge for doing this kind of app, but the logic is quite straightforward. If you need to handle new communications, make sure that you reference ABC SDK as well. So most of the mistakes we are seeing as like, first, how you compile your app, make sure it's a 64-bit app. Link server is running on a 64-bit server, so it's quite common when you compile your project that you take the 32-bit bits. Then, the RTC server app application group is something you need to pay attention. So when you run a managed app, you have to run this app under this context. So in my demo, I did a run as something. So if I do it myself, if I just double click on the app, even if I am the admin, it's not good enough. I will get a warning. So I need to do run as to make sure they pass the context. And also, from a deployment perspective, you have to deploy this application on all servers. So any server that we need to handle this logic, we need to have this kind of script. We do not deploy this script automatically for you. So if you have many servers, then make sure that you consider this deployment. So that are the top three issues we are having. Then most of the issues after that are about more complex logics, like how do I deal with the UCMA, because I want to forward this call to an IVR, but only if I have some conditions. I want to inspect the content, encrypt the content, and so on. So you will find on the web many applications, sample apps, so make sure you follow that. But that's pretty much it for SPL. Right.
All right.
Let's go through the questions.
Great, thank you. So we actually haven't had many questions so far. The one question that we've gotten is where do we download the SDK? I just did a sync for I did a search for the Link Server 2010, and I found the download for that, but it wasn't easy to find the 2013 download. Is that available?
Two points.
It was released.
It's released. Okay. So we should look that up and then probably follow up afterwards with the right link, so everyone can download this.
Yeah. If you type Link Server SDK, I can show it.
It is under SDK downloads on the MSDN link site.
Okay, so there we go. So if you go to
sdn.com/link, and then at the bottom there is SDK downloads, and then you can find it. sdn.com/link, and then scroll down. This is MSDN. sdn.com/link.
So our Microsoft downloads, so.
I do see that the SDK is only released in x86. Is the SDK only x86?
No, it shouldn't be.
Let's check.
There may be a separate one for 64 bit.
Fear that we...
But that doesn't necessarily affect the target.
It does, because the link server is marked 6x86.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It actually goes to the wrong link.
Yeah.
We will...
We need to update that.
All right. So,
yes, sorry.
Okay, so we will sort this out, and we'll follow up with the right link when that's available. Sorry about that. So let's check for more questions here. Let's see. No more questions so far. Anybody else have questions?
See, one question about what are the effects of not deploying app?
Oh, of not deploying the app on the front end server.
All front ends.
Well, if the SIG traffic hits a machine where there's no scripts, nothing will happen. So you will not catch the message and you will not execute your logic.
Will the message still go through?
Yeah, or will lose traffic, but
okay.
But intercept this message.
I see.
It's as if you never deployed this application.
Okay, so it's not like a catastrophic failure.
It is not, but in some cases it might be. For compliance reasons, you want to block certain types of messages. And if you don't deploy the app on 2.5 FEs, then users on those 2 FEs, these messages will not be blocked. which is why we explicitly call out that no, you really have to deploy this app on all FEs.
Okay. Is it possible to register these applications through the Link server control panel? No. So
in the control panel, you can see which applications have been registered.
Yes.
Okay, so you can view them,
but you cannot register them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can show that.
Okay. Any other questions? I guess you gave a great presentation because we don't have more questions coming in. Okay, so people are sorting out where to download. Okay, here's a question. Could you describe the processing of the scripts? Is it compiled into what? Pico, native processor code?
The .am files are just-in-time compiled into our own internal code. So end of the day, it gets compiled. It gets run as a native code. But we do just-in-time compilation when the application is registered and started up.
For the script app?
For the script only, yeah. For the .am side of the scripts.
But as you showed us, that the .am may just be, just say, go use the manage code instead, essentially.
But typically it would be that. And there are also some more advanced functions available in the SPL side of things.
So okay. You might want to gather some
preliminary data about the user and then pass it up to the managed app as a parameter.
Oh.
So the dispatch call, you can, in addition to the actual function you want to call on the managed side, you could also pass in a bunch of parameters that you want to send it to.
So you may end up having a hybrid, kind of in both the managed and script.
Yeah. A lot of our server-side routing rules, message processing, is actually done using the same logic. So we do a lot of complicated query stuff about the users of the messages and so on, then dispatch all these pieces of information to the managed app. Like the common ones are querying various presence categories and so on. Those kinds of stuff you can do in SQL and then dispatch stuff to managed app. So you don't have to write your own managed SQL code to read from the presence store.
So what kind of tools are available for writing the scripts? Would you just recommend just use Visual Studio or Notepad?
It's Visual Studio or Notepad.
Yeah.
Would be a good start. What are the changes between the 2013 SDK from the 2010 SDK? Between 2013 and 2010, we've added a couple of more SPL functions to the publicly documented stuff. So that helps you, what you can do between, if you want to proxy, just proxy a request or send it to other apps and so on. So there is, between 2010 and 2013, there's only incremental changes on what we've added.
And this SDK actually is quite stable already for many releases, right?
Yes.
So the AM scripts or the managed code you might have written already releases back still works.
Yes, certainly. We make sure that there is, we maintain backwards compatibility. So whatever SQL scripts and managed code that you've released based on 2010 should continue to work on 2013.
Also, by default, you have an SQL app running, so it's part of the server. That I have just shared my desktop here. That's the list of apps running on this server. That where my the Echo, Hero World, Google Blocker has my custom apps.
And the rest just runs already by default because we install those.
Yeah.
The rest are Link server specific apps.
Yeah. Checking which clients can connect to the server. What's interesting? The routing apps, Exchange, Unify, Messaging, etc. XMPP.
So for debugging, so for a managed app, you just hit F5 and So for on the scripting side, is there any tricks?
So just F5, if you say F5, it means that you are on Linux server. So what?
So you're on the right, which typically isn't.
Well, you can if you have, but you need to have a Linux server development platform. What I did here, for example, I don't have Linux server on my machine. I just develop the logic, copy the file, and then use tracing to check what's happening.
Okay.
You don't need to deploy Visual Studio on the Linux server.
You could always attach a debugger to the managed app if you want to find out exactly what's going on. But for typical debugging, we tend to rely on tracing because a Linux server processes so many messages.
Right.
That, you know, if you want to break the thing into debugger, you can do it in our test environment with virtual machines. But on live servers, that is not an option because if you break into the debugger, you're blocking server processing of requests. So you tend to rely more on tracing and events. Event logs rather than actual live debugging.
Are there any interesting aspects? I mean, since you're so familiar with the code, is there anything particularly interesting about the server SDK and MSPL that you want to share with everyone?
Clearly the way it's designed, you know, you get to do a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff requires you to know a little bit about how Linux server processes requests and so on, but it's a very powerful tool that runs on server with escalated privileges. So there's a lot of fun things that you can do, and there are a lot of third-party developers who develop very interesting apps using this SDK, and it's. You know, basically what I want to say is that you can do a lot more fun stuff with this, and but you can really affect how the server processes the request, so, you know, if you can.
One thing is, obviously you need to have a SIP knowledge. If you have no ideas about what SIP is, then it's a bit more complex.
Okay. So what would you recommend as far as finding out about SIP? If you want to start doing
I guess most of the Linux developers have knowledge of SIP because, you know, UCM SDK is all about SIP. So, but if you are new to the SIP, then, I think a good starting point is to maybe start with the UCMA to get the concepts. Because as Vijay said, this is a very powerful, you have elevated privileges. So if you do something wrong, you can kill your server as well. So, but it's one of the most used SDK because customers have very specific requirements about ethical rules. They have lots of imagination about what they want to control or not. So privacy things are very specific to each country. So it's a good way to meet specific requirements.
But it's not just about filtering some text. You can really control where messages go.
So one of the, when people ask me, what can I do with SPL applications, now, high level, you could send a request to a different destination than where it would have otherwise ended up at. You could reject requests that would have otherwise been processed based on your ethical wall rules or your own privacy considerations. And the other key thing is that you could modify content. Okay, so these three, you know, give you a high level, you know, these three silos are typically used to, that's what most server SDK apps do.
And you mentioned that that the community is developing some pretty exciting applications out there. Do you know of some locations where these might be shared for everybody at large?
Most of the people I know who write these apps, they actually sell these apps for a lot of money. So
right. I see. So
with the SDK, you will have a bunch of samples that come along with it.
Right.
Quite a bit of our demos that we did here today was based off of the samples that shipped with the SDK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's here, server, SDK. When you deploy the SDK on the server, you get this. And we get a set of samples.
Okay.
I think it's a good starting point.
And there's also the forums on MSDN. So if you search for the Link Server SDK forums, there's a pretty active community on the forums answering questions, and you can get a good feel for the kinds of applications that people are working on there as well.
So most of the samples that we always see are around IAM. What do you do with it, with audio and video and app sharing?
The basic idea is pretty much the same. Whatever you tend to do with IAMs, you can do with audio, video, and so on. There are two parts. One is, how do you identify what type of request is what? When you see an invite, how do you know whether it's an IAM or an audio or app sharing and so on? Typically, you decide on that based on the content type and the actual content. But beyond that, you know, to give you an example, the basic routing rules on the server, you know, if you set up simul ring, where does the call go, if you set up call forwarding, or how are those calls handled, everything is actually written using server SDK. So that gives you some idea of the power of things that we can do.
Mm-hmm. And can you then make an external database, or for example, if you would like to implement a team call, mm-hmm. or a different forward. So you can essentially then, you would write then a managed code where you do a database lookup?
Yes. Once you push it up to a managed app, then whatever you can do in managed land, it's at your disposal. So you can have your own database where you store additional information and then use those that kind of information to process calls and all this fun stuff.
Perfect. But again, it's critical code, so...
It's critical to make sure your performance is as fast as it can be. At the same time, just because you have all these tools at your disposal doesn't mean that you need to use that. So, any good developer should be able to deal with both issues that come out of it. Good.
All right, well, I think that should do it for us. Thanks, guys, for...
Thank you.
Helping out and presenting and giving us an overview of this. I'm planning on having more presentations about the server SDK. Maybe we can go into a specific application that you can write, and we can, you know, dive into some more specifics in the future. So stay tuned for that. I post upcoming Link Developer Roundtable sessions in the forums, so everyone go take a look at the forums. You can subscribe to the posts. So whenever I update with new events coming up, you can receive notifications about that. So I think that will finish things up. Stay tuned in a week for a recording of the session, and we'll see you again next time.